Welcome to the Cybersecurity Expert Podcast, where you learn from the best cybersecurity minds, helping MSPs become cybersecurity heroes for your small business clients. And now, here's your host, Cybersecurity Sherpa, Jennifer Bleem.
I am here with Angel Rojas. Angel, you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Excellent. I am good. This is going to be so much fun. So Angel and I have had a blast preparing this particular interview and this podcast, and it is going to be tough keeping this to 15 minutes. So we may need to do this again in the weeks or months to come. If you are not familiar with Angel, he is the owner and the founder of DataCore, which is a managed service provider in Tampa, Florida. And he's got a specialty where he serves the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing contracting world. Angel, did I get that right?
Yeah, you did. And for the people that don't know what mechanical is, it's just your air conditioner and heating, but that's what they call it. So we'll call it that.
Absolutely. Got to use the language of your people. So the fun thing, there's a lot of fun things about Angel, which you're going to learn over the next 10 or 15 minutes. But one of the things that I love about him is that he was actually asked to come and speak to our marketplace, to the MSP marketplace, on how to market and sell and speak to a vertical, and specifically the vertical that he is most familiar with as a guest presenter for ASCII. And I actually ran into Angel at an ASCII show in DC. I didn't actually hear his talk.
I know. You skipped my talk. I know. That's fine, though. I'm a forgiving person.
I can't even remember. I knew you were on the calendar. I think I thought you were on the pre-day.
You had a really good excuse. I'll give you that much, okay?
Awesome. What was my excuse?
You and Alex were going on a date night. You were going to watch some movie that was way more interesting than my talk.
I bet it was one of the Avenger movies.
I think it was, actually. Okay.
All right. So I've missed it. I missed the actual live event, but I've heard rave reviews from people who have gone to the various ASCII events around the country.
Yes. They were all very well compensated.
Excellent. The ones who gave you good reviews?
Absolutely.
So are you saying that if I would have come to that session and then you would have then compensated me to sing your praises?
You're probably never going to know, are you?
And now I'm doing it just out of the goodness of my heart. I missed the boat on that one. All right, so let's start talking about cybersecurity. So, you and I have talked all over the map as far as cybersecurity and the MSP thinking as it stands with cybersecurity, the solution stack and things like that. And one thing that we hear a lot about is that stack. You know, what are the right technology pieces I should have in place, which is certainly an important part. But I know one thing that you talk about is that cybersecurity culture. So how would you advise that IT companies, that MSPs, shift their thinking from business as usual, IT pro, to start thinking like a cybersecurity expert?
So I think the first place to start is to conduct a risk assessment inside our own companies. And that's really essentially the same place we tell our clients to start. So that's going to point out all the areas that we're weak in and give us a little bit of a rough roadmap to start correcting some of those areas. And if we do it collaboratively together with our team, it starts to establish that cybersecurity culture, because the team is going to see the types of questions that are going to be asked in the risk assessment. And they start thinking about those things as we go through our day-to-day routine of going through our PSA and our RMM, of taking calls from clients. Maybe we'll stop and verify the information if there's something that just seems a little off. And, we start changing that culture that makes us think a little bit differently about security.
So I'm going to do something dangerous and ask you a question that I don't know the answer to, and that is this. If you were to guess at one or two or three things that you suspect the average IT company would uncover when they go to do this risk assessment on their own IT company, any guesses of what those one to three things would be?
So we're creatures of habit and routine, and so we probably don't use any kind of screen locking mechanisms. And that's, you know, again, for every one requirement, there may be a compensating control. So maybe we have a reason why we don't need to do it. That's, you know, again, for you to do in your risk assessment. But we probably don't train our teams. We don't spend enough time training. We don't test our teams. We probably don't fish ourselves. We don't document well. We don't apply change management. So those are going to be some of the other things that, we'll find where we don't document changes. We don't have good checks and balances. So, you know, one of the things I've been doing is I've been removing myself from the ability to make changes in our systems. And then again, relying on my team and relying on accountability there. So, you know, we've been slowly removing my access, because one of the things I've learned from meeting with, you know, FBI InfraGuard and Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force is that CEOs are prime targets. So then I have to start, as I'm going out and speaking and as I'm going out into the community, I have to think of myself as a target. So my accounts, you know, need to be restricted as well for my own protection. And now that MSPs are becoming a huge target for my clients' protection.
Yeah, it was interesting as you were talking, I'm thinking MSPs, you know, companies like yours, you really have a triple target on your back, because you are an MSP. So we're in the supply chain, and that's an issue. You're a mm-hmm. small business, and so you're a target there as well, and you're a CEO. So for those three reasons, like, you really are that proverbial low-hanging fruit. And I know that that's an overused expression, but there's a reason for it. And so you do need to start to think differently about how you run your business and not just
absolutely
say business as usual.
Absolutely. And, you know, a long time ago, I used to do all sorts of stuff with my car and sound systems and stuff. And now with the RC hobby and things like that, I used to post about the stuff I did and the things I had. And then I realized I was posting a shopping list for potential thieves. So I stopped advertising what was in my car.
So you mean like you could get an ad or an email for something related to RC?
No. Okay. I would post on social media what might be inside my trunk. Or, you know, back then it was forums, and because that was a really long time ago. I'm kind of old. But I realized I was essentially, you know, would-be car thieves would be scouring those forums to see which cars had interesting stuff that would be valuable and would be good to steal. And people were posting their security system installs and everything. So you would know exactly where all the cables were that you'd need to cut to silence that alarm. And so I, you know, as I've been speaking this year, I've been looking at it the same way, thinking, okay, I'm posting client testimonials on my website. And this is something interesting. Maybe we can delve into at some point, but marketing and security really don't go hand in hand.
Yes.
Because I've got client testimonials and I've considered taking them down again, because I don't necessarily know that I want a potential attacker to be able to know which targets they can get if they get to me.
Right, because there's no way to display a website full of social proof to the legit people. And so that social proof can very quickly become social engineering. It's interesting. I have had that same thought. And obviously social proof is huge, and having those testimonials so important to justify that you are a legitimate company and you provide quality work and you're worthy of the pricing that you've created. But at the same time, you're potentially, very realistically, putting a target on either your client's back or yours. So if there's a bad guy that wants to get into one of your clients, they now target you to get to that client. Again, the whole, whole supply chain thing.
Exactly. So, you know, baking in security into our marketing and into our social media strategies is also an area that most MSPs don't really think about and consider. And again, there's nothing wrong with not considering it. It's just, it's not how we're wired.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So almost before you start to market, you've got to have a solution or a set of solutions that you're going to market. So if we look at cybersecurity solutions, that's a piece of it. But what about on the policy side? Where do you, if you were going to make a recommendation to MSPs, where should they start when it comes to cybersecurity policies for their company and their clients?
I'm going to give you the legal answer. The legal answer is you should always consult with an attorney when it comes to your policies, internal policies and procedures. And the reason why is because policies and procedures are essentially law for your business. And if you look at a lot of the regulations, you will be evaluated by the policies and procedures you wrote. So when you go, if you have to go to court or defend yourself in the case of a breach or any action related to it, if you downloaded policies and procedures that were a template and you set a standard for yourself that was not reasonable for your size company by way of those policies and procedures, you wrote them, you adopted them, you ideally trained on them, so you're going to be expected to have followed them.
So you don't recommend necessarily that the MSP or MSSP, which is a whole nother topic we may have time to get into. We've only got a few minutes left.
I wouldn't open that can of worms.
Okay.
But it's your webinar.
I know. I'm looking at the clock going, we have 4 minutes or 3 minutes. I'm not sure we can talk about the whole MSSP term. Okay. So your recommendation would be don't create policies. That's the job for an attorney.
I would say that that's my recommendation. The middle ground is to read every word, take a crack at adapting them, and then have an attorney review it. I think you'll end up with less cost that way. But again, I really would advise MSPs against trying to write or even provide to their clients policies and procedures, even as a template. It's just dangerous ground. And the way my attorney worded it was practicing law without a license. And I just didn't like that term.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like something we should ever wake up and attempt to do. That's not on my bucket list. I've got a long
It's not on mine list. Either.
That's not one of them. Okay. Awesome. All right. So we've got a couple of minutes. There's a lot of conversation in the channel about how to sell cybersecurity, and that a good way to get in the door with a client or a prospect is to do a risk assessment. How do you approach risk assessments? What's your philosophy when it comes to risk assessments and then selling the cybersecurity solutions?
Sure. So selling cybersecurity, the way I do it, is very slow. Takes a lot of time, but it's got a high close ratio, and it carries a lot of value with it too. And the reason why is I involve the attorney partner or I involve external parties that can do a true risk assessment where it's needed. For clients that don't need a full-on risk assessment, I try never to call it a risk assessment. I call it a risk profile.
Okay.
Because a risk assessment carries some legal weight behind it, especially with PCI and HIPAA. And I know that for CPAs, they have to abide by the FTC security rule. So risk assessment carries a lot. What I like to do is walk clients and facilitate a self-risk assessment. But before we do that, my lead-in is a risk profile. So I want to take a snapshot of what they have and just give them a 30,000-foot view of where I see their risk just by asking several questions. Now, that's something that most MSPs are really good at. They're really good at assessing an environment very quickly. We have trouble presenting what we found in words and pictures that make sense. So by doing that and using that risk profile, if you present it properly, it can leave behind that emotional feeling that you need in order to take it to the next step. If you don't leave a not okay emotional sense and feeling, you're not getting to the next step.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of IT companies, they want to say, well, there's this gap, but it's not really that bad. Or there's this gap and I've seen a lot worse. Or there's a potential issue, but everybody has that. And that's number one. There's probably some liability there. Not an attorney, don't play one on TV. But more importantly, you want your prospect or your client to feel a little bit not okay and have that emotional connection to the risk that they are absorbing right now, and you don't want to make them okay. You want them in that not okay state in order to provide them with a solution.
Yeah. So the when I get into the clients that have some regulatory obligations, that's a great time to bring in either an attorney or an actual cybersecurity professional to perform that risk assessment. That's going to really add a lot of value to it. And on the tail end, here's the cool part. They get to write a prescription and we get to fill it. So at the end of the day, they're done. They do their risk assessment. They leave them feeling really not okay. And then we get to go in and be the heroes and make them feel okay.
Excellent. Okay, so we are about 1 minute over, but I do want to ask this. How much time do you personally spend, or do you recommend to MSPs that they spend studying the techniques of these threat actors or these bad actors?
Well, recently I heard a Secret Service agent give a presentation, and they said that the average attacker spends somewhere between 10 to 20 hours a week studying new potential attack vectors, and it is part of their life. So with that said, I don't know. It really comes down to how important is it for you and how critical is it for your business and for your clients. If your adversary is spending 10 to 20 hours a week, you know, I think that speaks for itself.
That's a big deal. If they're spending even 10 and I'm spending, you know, 10 minutes, if it's even a consistent part of my week, there's a big disconnect there.
So, sure. And at the same time, that's where you have some business decisions to make too.
Whether or not you really are wanting to focus on security.
Focus on it or take it head on, or maybe again, offload some of that risk to somebody else.
For sure. Excellent. Well, I really, really appreciate you coming on here and sharing your thoughts about the cybersecurity landscape and the threats and how to start to bake cybersecurity into your culture and not just look at a stack of tools as checking the box for yourself and your clients. So
yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a lot of fun. I mean, man, I kind of wish everybody could have, well, maybe not. I was going to say, I kind of wish they could have heard all of our conversations in the green room.
Yeah, last week's was fun.
It was a lot of fun. Today's was fun too. We were just a little more focused because we knew we only had 15 minutes and other people might be watching it.
Absolutely. No, last week's was fun though. Maybe someday we can open up that MSSP Pandora's box.
Yes, we may
really make some people upset.
Yes, I know the whole concept of MSSP, you know, it's like become a cardiac surgeon in 90 days or less guaranteed.
That's right.
Like that's not the doctor I would want to go to for open heart surgery. Nope. But yeah, okay. We cracked Pandora's box, but I'm going to table that for today and maybe we will come back at a later date and park there. And I guarantee you that conversation will be all over the map. So for now, again, Angel, appreciate your time. If you want to reach out to Angel, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Just find me on LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest way. It's a lot easier to spell than my email address. So just find me on LinkedIn, Angel, spell it A-N-G-E-L, not A-N-G-L-E. I don't know why people think I'm an angle. So, but Angel
Maybe because
Rojas,
they know you're not an angel. I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
You're gonna open up that Pandora's box now?
Oh, I changed my mind. I changed my mind. Let me suck it back. I didn't say that. Okay, so Angel, A-N-G-E-L.
Yep, Rojas, R-O-J-A-S. Just find me on LinkedIn. We can connect on there and take it from there.
Awesome. Thank you again. Appreciate your time and we will talk soon. Jennifer awesome. Bleem, Cybersecurity Sherpa, signing off for now.
To learn more about how you can become a cybersecurity hero for your clients, request your hero assessment today. MSPSalesRevolution.com/hero.